as the choir finds their way back to their seats. A number of years ago, my wife came up with a great idea for a Christmas gift for our children. For those of you who don't know, we have six adult children. They're all married now, and then little Diana wasn't a part of our home at that time. But she came up with this idea that she would purchase hymnals for all of our children for Christmas. And then throughout the course of the year, she investigated asking everybody in the family she could think of, not just the children, but parents and grandparents and so on, what their favorite hymns were. What a daunting task. For me to pick out a favorite hymn was almost impossible, but I settled on the one we just sang, "It Is Well With My Soul." And then Diana did research to the history of all those hymns and printed the list inside the cover on the hymnal, and then put together a booklet with the history of the hymns that my family loves. I love the hymns. They are so rich in reality and in truth that no matter our lot in life, if you have Christ, it is well with your soul. All praise goes to God, and He is worthy of that praise. If you have your Bibles with you today, we're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and read verses 11 through 19 together. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. The Word of the Lord. "And it came to pass, as we went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.'" Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again this morning. We recognize, Lord, that this is all inspired and all good for your glory and for our edification. That this is your revelation. This is not conjured in the minds of men, but rather revealed by you through your Spirit to obedient men who would pen these words. Lord, we look at the preservation of this word through all of these years. What a miraculous thing, as man has tried to destroy it, tried to discredit it, it only becomes more and more viable as we look at it. It speaks to every issue in our lives, and in particular, our fallen nature and our need of a Savior. And so, Lord, as you have declared yourself to us in your word, as you have called men to preach from your word, I would today, Lord, that you'd hide your servant behind the cross, that the words heard would be yours, the thoughts would penetrate, Lord, to the heart and mind of every man and woman and child that's gathered here, that, Lord, we would be strengthened as we walk with you, that, Lord, you would open the door of salvation to any who have yet to receive you, and that, Lord, through this growth process, we would bring glory to your name as you use us in service for you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity again that we have here to gather together, and we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I don't know if you take note of the things in your bulletin. I would encourage you to, not only the events of the church and the things that are taking place here, but also the little things that are put in here for you to read. On the back of your bulletin is a beautiful little story there on death and life. And I was drawn to this, remember and be grateful. What good instruction that is, huh? But it is instruction, isn't it? It's telling us to remember. I've shared with you before that our problem oftentimes is we remember the things we ought to forget and we forget the things we ought to remember. I'm reminded that when we get to things like Memorial Day, how poor my memory is. And I pray that it gets better rather than worse, because I know in a lot of situations it does get worse as you age. What a treasure it is in our minds that we can take things of the past, store them there, remember them there, and then to be grateful for those things is the instruction given to us in your bulletin. If we look at that instruction, however, this is the thought that crossed my mind as I read that. Does that instruction not teach us something about the human experience? If we have instruction on something to do, it has to be based upon some reality in the human experience. This can't be just simply for us or for Joe down the street, but this would be good instruction to all people, because all people share in the commonality of the human experience. It is not simply for Christians, but this is good instruction for everybody. Remember and be grateful. This, I believe, is what I'd like for us to think about, is this thought, this principal thought for the human experience, and I believe this to be true. What you do now is based upon how much you are affected by an experience in the past. Who you are now is based upon what your understanding of history is. For if you take away history, we neither know who we are nor where we're going. We have no idea of purpose. We have no idea. And you know this saying, if you forget history, you're apt to repeat it, right? And if you forget good history, you're apt to forget it, you know. And so we have this issue within us. And all of us are somehow a byproduct of experiences from the past. Isn't that true? And I don't think there can be anything more impactful for us experientially in this life than death. Isn't that true? Isn't it true that you have been you've been molded somehow? It is not only that what we gain in understanding, but don't our past experiences kind of make us into a different kind of purpose? Now that could be good or bad. On Friday, I got a glimpse of this. My wife has been out of town, and so I've been trying to do the husbandly thing and, you know, keep the house clean and maybe even go a step beyond. Good instruction, gentlemen. Maybe go beyond what the expectation is. And so I thought on Friday, I thought, you know what, these windows, this house really need to be cleaned on the outside. And like most people, I don't like doing windows, right? So in order to do the windows on the outside, I got to get a ladder out. Well, I have two ladders, and both of them were purchased at garage sales. Now, one man's trash is another man's treasure, right? And they've served me really well. They're a lightweight kind of fold-up ladder. And maybe you're familiar with them. When they're folded up, it would be like taking a W and pushing it together. So they're very compact, about 4 feet high. I have two of them. And so they're really nice, because if you extend all of those joints, if you take the compressed W and open it all the way up, I've got a 16-foot long ladder. That's beautiful for getting up on the roof, which I did not too long ago to clean out the gutters. But for the window, I didn't need to extend it all the way out. I simply needed to take the W, extend two legs down to make an inverted V, and guess what? I've got an 8-foot step ladder. How handy is this little ladder? And so I did that. I extended it down. You pull a lever and it releases and it goes down. It sets up and I got it up into position. And as I got it in position, I grabbed my Windex and some paper towels and I began my ascent up the ladder, which you can go up either side, another nice feature of this ladder. And as I got up to the next to top rung, puts me at approximately 6 feet off the ground. It went out from under me. This joint went this way, and I fell from 6 feet straight down onto the concrete. Praise the Lord. I have nothing. I bumped here, here, and here, and I'm fine. But the impact of the experience has changed me. I'm never doing windows again. No, but it has changed me. Now I don't take for granted that those joints are going to hold in that ladder. When I pull that spring and when that those, I make sure that spring goes back and that everything is locked in place. And I did that, and immediately I got back on the ladder and finished the job. But the experience, the impact of the experience changed what I did next. And that principle applies to every aspect of our life. I have to tell you today that I am concerned with what we've done with Memorial Day. Not only Memorial Day, but I am concerned with what we as a people, as Americans, and I'm speaking to you as Americans, what we have done with our holidays. I am concerned today with, as an American, what we are doing with our national anthem. I am concerned today as an American what we are doing with Old Glory, what we are doing with our flag. I am concerned today that we are allowing secondary issues to overshadow the realities of the freedoms that we have and the great cost of those freedoms on our behalf. You know, Memorial Day began as Decoration Day. And the reality is it began in the South. As Confederate mothers and wives would go out and lay flowers and wreaths upon the graves of their sons and husbands who had died. Now, Lyndon Johnson says that it originated in Waterloo, New York, and that's hardly the case. It had been going on actually before the Civil War, during the Civil War, and became a bigger deal in the post-Civil War era. It wasn't until in the 70s that it became a federally recognized legal holiday. It originated, understand this, it originated in the cemetery. But it has gone from the cemetery to Main Street. It has gone from the cemetery to the park. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a parade. I should that we would gather at those parades. I'm not saying that it's wrong to gather in the park and have a speaker come. I think that those are things we should do. But it has gone from the cemetery to Main Street to the park. It has gone from the cemetery to the Main Street to park to the lake. To the family gathering. To the mattress sale that's taking place somewhere. And by and large, we have completely forgotten the very point and the purpose in Memorial Day. Even when we do venture to the graveyard, we go to lay wreaths and flowers upon our departed loved ones. But the original purpose in Memorial Day was specifically that we would honor those in the military who died for your freedoms. We have become a nation of people that don't even know what it means to stand up and honor the flag. We debate it. We make it an issue of this you must do. The question is, why don't you want to do it? And the reality is, you have forgotten the history and the impact of the past upon your life today. We are throwing away our freedoms because we don't understand the cost and the value and the impact of living in a free culture. Very little of our mindset will be given to the reality of Memorial Day as it is supposed to be for us as Americans on this weekend. In the year 2000, it became official that we not only have Memorial Day, but we have a memorial moment. We can't remember the fallen for a day. Now it's a moment. At 3:00 in the afternoon, you are supposed to stop what you're doing and remember the men and women who gave their lives for your freedom. A moment. Really? Is that enough for those of us who are prone to wander? Is that enough for those of us who have a tendency to forget the things we ought to remember and remember the things we ought to forget? This country isn't perfect. I get that. I know that. We have many problems, but those problems cannot rise above the fact that you live in an America, a nation whose freedoms were granted to us because people were willing to die that you might have them. One day, a moment. No, make this Memorial Day, make it your purpose to remember and to thank God for those who gave their lives on your behalf. Memorial Day. Well, I think it's important for us as a nation. But my thought as a pastor goes far beyond national recognition. If the most impactful moments in our lives are death, then surely the death of our Savior should be remembered. Turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7. It's just a simple verse. This is Moses' song. This is the fifth book of the law. This is written in retrospect, looking back. Moses would have written this not getting to the inheritance of the promised land, but on the east side of the Jordan. He writes in verse 7, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee." You know, ask somebody of a past generation. I had the pleasure of spending some time with George and Shirley this week as they invited me out for coffee on their 67th wedding anniversary. And so I got the pleasure of doing that. And George is a treasure to me because his memory is so keen. And I love listening to a man of another generation talk about what life was like and what they valued and those sorts of things. Talk to somebody who's older than you. Some of you will have a hard time finding somebody older than you, but, you know, try. And remember these things. It's important that we remember. That was highly uncalled for. Wow. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is a beautiful passage of Scripture with a stern warning, but it tells us the truth and the reality of who God is and who we are, that God is the one who supplies, that God is the one who provides. If you look at verse 7, for example, and again, I encourage you to go back and read it, beginning with verse 7, "For the Lord thy God brings you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains of depth, and the spring out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land," and Pastor Dave's paraphrase, "a land of plenty, a cornucopia of blessings, cattle and wheat and oil and all of these things that God has blessed us with. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you may dig brass. When you have eaten and are become full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you this day." If you go down to verse 17, "And you say in your heart, my power and might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day." Remember. Remembrance, and this thought is throughout Scripture. God constantly calling his children, the children of Israel, to remember that I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of Egypt. You'll remember that Joshua, in Joshua chapter 4, if we turn there, crossing the Jordan and giving instructions to set up what we often reference as memorial stones. Remembrance. Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, this is the purpose of remembering. that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. In fact, all of the feast days that God established in the Old Testament were memorials. They were to do those things to help them to cement in their minds to remember what God has done on your behalf. And that he then would receive the praise for it. The importance of memorials. So the question then comes to my mind as we look at Memorial Day on a national setting in our nation, can we draw a correlation to the church? And are there memorials in the church to remind us of what God has done? And of course there are, aren't there? The cross is a memorial, is an erection that reminds us that the cost of my liberty, my salvation, was paid there. That's the importance of keeping the cross central in our lives. It is a memorial to draw us back. When you come to church and you participate in communion, what are you doing it for? In remembrance of his shed blood and his broken body. You're remembering his death. And you're proclaiming his death until the day he comes. You see, the most impactful thing in any person's life is to come to an understanding, being enlightened by the Holy Spirit, that this Savior, Christ Jesus, came perfect, sent from God to save sinners, and he came to save me. Not of works that I might boast, but it is simply by grace. It is the free gift of God that if I will believe by faith, his death is my life. It's my life. I was separated from God. I was in outer darkness. I was alienated from him. I had no hope. I had no future. I had no nothing. And Christ came and he died that I might live. The most impactful moment in my life, and I trust in yours, is the day Jesus died and you realize that he died for you. And if that's true, doesn't that make something of us going forward? Aren't we the product of that great truth as we remember it? There's an account in Luke chapter 17, which we just read, and it talks about 10 people, 10 lepers who were separated. They were alienated. They couldn't have fellowship with anybody, and certainly not with God, for they were unclean. And Jesus came walking along, and they lifted up their voices, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus' mercy is extended unto them in healing them of an incurable disease that was surely going to end in death. 10 were healed, and one, a Samaritan, the least of all who would be worthy of this as we would look at it, he returns, and his response in what he does now is based purely upon the impact of what has already taken place in his life. And the proper response to who we are in memorial is to worship and to praise and to glorify God in the lives that we live. Do you see what's going on here? Luke records another account, and his account is of a woman who comes to Jesus, and she's a known sinner, and it's in a Pharisee's house, and you remember this account, and she comes there, and she breaks open an alabaster box, and one account says she starts anointing Jesus at his head. The other one says that she anoints his feet, and I believe she started at his head, and it went all the way down to his feet. This precious ointment was poured out over her Savior, and she wiped the tears with her hair of her head as she kissed him about his feet. And the Pharisee couldn't quite understand it. And he said, if he truly were a prophet, he said inside his own head, he said, if Jesus truly were a prophet, he would know what kind of a person this is, that she's a sinner. And Jesus knew his mind, and he knew his heart, and he knew his thought. And Jesus said unto this man, let me ask you a question. If someone owed a lot of money and someone owed a little bit of money and both were forgiven, which one do you think would be more thankful? And he said, I suppose the one that was forgiven a lot. Do you see it? Do you see it? Are you impacted by what Christ has done in the past? Because the greater we're impacted by what he has done, the more different we will live today. And the more we'll cherish what he did, and the more we'll proclaim what he did, the more we'll worship him in spirit and truth, the more we'll be willing to serve him, the more we will be willing to be obedient to him. It all goes back to what the impact is in your life. Has Christ forgiven you for a little? Or has Christ forgiven you for a lot? You're dead in your trespasses and sins until Christ died and took upon himself the punishment for your sin that you might be set free. You see how this is impactful? It's impactful for us on a national level if we forget the cost of our freedoms. It is devastating to us as a people, as Christians, if we forget the impact of what Christ has done on our behalf. That's why we come to communion. That's why we come to church. That's why we sing praises to him. That's why every one of these hymns we're going to sing today is born out of the reality that in this world there is hardship, but praise God, it is well with my soul because of the impact of what Christ has done in my life. It's possible. It's possible today that you're sitting here and you have never realized the impact of what Christ has done on you. You may be sitting here and you know of Jesus. You may be sitting here and you know about Jesus. You may be here as a person who has some form of religiosity to you. You may be a churchgoer. You may sing in the choir. You may serve on the church board. I don't care about those things. The only thing I care about as your pastor is that you know the impact of what Jesus has done on your behalf, that you know the great cost as he laid down his life so that you might be set free to live in him, by him, and for him. Do you know that today? Do you know that today? Paul would make an interesting statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He closes out this second chapter with this thought. 2 Corinthians 2, beginning with verse 14 and read through 17. He says, now thanks be unto God. That should be the beginning thought in every thought we have. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God, which also causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. The account of the woman in the alabaster box of ointment, Jesus said of her, as that aroma of that permeated the room. You can imagine it, can't you? How beautiful that must have smelled. And Jesus said of her, this, wherever the gospel is preached, this will be a memorial unto her. And I believe that that's what Paul is bringing out here, that our lives are meant to be a memorial. Our lives are meant to lead people to understand what Christ has done on our behalf. Our lives are to be aroma. And I read that and I think about how many times I walk into the house and I can smell what's cooking. Don't you have that? Don't you love that? That aroma, that smell, and it brings back memories. And you walk into a room and you smell that aroma and you are drawn to the table to receive that which Christ has done for you. This Memorial Day, be a memorial for what Christ has done on your behalf. Stand as a memorial to be seen, to be heard, a sweet aroma for those who will smell. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, the importance of remembering is throughout your word. And Lord, I just thank you for giving us that capacity to remember and to draw on those things of the past. Precious memories, Lord, certainly. Precious memories of what was done on our behalf as Jesus hung upon the cross and then arose from the grave victorious so that I might have a victorious life in him. And so, Lord, I just pray for those who are here who maybe have never come to a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. Maybe, Lord, they've come close, but they've never come to actually believe by faith, Jesus died for me. I want to own that as my own. The gospel was written for me. Christ died for me. I received that because I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. Cleanse me, make me pure, make me right, Lord, in your sight. Come and live within my heart. Empower me to live for you. Make that commitment to Christ today, for he has committed himself to you. And it will be well with your soul. And for those of us, Lord, who have been walking, following after Christ, I would, Lord, that you would use us, that you would hide our failures, and, Lord, allow your light to shine through us, that we would be cups of living water to share Christ with others, that, Lord, we would be a sweet savor unto life for those who will believe, and that, Lord, you irradiate yourself from within us and bring glory to your name. Enlarge your kingdom. And so, Lord, we thank you for Memorial Day, a day when we're reminded of the great cost of our freedom. But we are also reminded, Lord, of this great cost to make us whole. And so we praise you today as we consider the past and the impact it's had on us, making us what we are today in Christ Jesus. We pray these things in your name, in Jesus' name, amen.